Let's pray. Lord, we have gathered in your presence, and we're conscious that what we do is wholly dependent on the competency of Christ, on the effectual work of the Spirit to work in our hearts, to connect us to you, to connect us to one another. And we thank you that you are in our midst. We thank you that you are patient and that you are providing. And we pray that tonight you would bless our work, bless the word, and build us up in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, tonight we're going to look at just a few verses from Mark chapter 6. Giving a little bit of a preview from our text for this coming Lord's Day, Mark chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9, or I'll start at verse 7. Mark 6, 7 through 9, Jesus is sending out the 12. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey, except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals, and not to put on two tunics. So, as you look over these verses, very specific instructions about what to do, what not to do, and the details have to do with how to pack. So in this little section of Mark, Jesus sends out his disciples to do the same kinds of things that he was doing when he would go out, to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, to deliver people from demons and from disease. So the disciples go out, they're representing Jesus, they're imitating Jesus, his message and his manner. They're going to preach the same content about faith and repentance, the message repent and believe. And they're going to not only preach the same content, they're going to do the same deeds that Jesus did. You see this in the surrounding verses, alleviating human suffering, whether it's spiritual or medical. So likewise for us, he is sending us out. We are his disciples. He's sending us out to show Jesus in word and in deed. So that's what they were to say and to do. How were they to pack? How are we to pack as Jesus sends us out? Well, verse 8, Jesus is surprisingly specific about how to pack. It says, he commanded them to take nothing for the journey except, and if you look at that list, there are only two things he tells them to take, a staff and sandals. A staff and sandals, positively. Negatively, what does he forbid? He says, leave behind a bag, leave behind bread, leave behind cash, leave behind extra clothes. So what's going on here? Why only take a staff and sandals? Well, those represent probably the minimum for what you would need to travel. The staff would be just a stick for the road. Maybe it would give you steadiness if there are places where there isn't even a road, but you're having to go through some rougher parts of the trail, rocks, and make your way through, clear a little bit of brush. Maybe a little bit of help against wild animals. Sandals, cover your feet against sharp stones so that you can make it for a longer journey. Maybe you could go barefoot across town, but if you're going between towns, sandals will enable your feet to last. This also may hearken to what was going on with the Passover Supper. You'll remember when Israel was being delivered from captivity to Egypt, God instituted a perpetual memorial meal, the Passover. And part of that, that hasty Passover meal, was the people of God, as they're remembering, we're being delivered from slavery. We're being delivered from death. We're supposed to eat this meal as it was on the day of our deliverance, in haste. So we were supposed to eat the meal with sandals on our feet and a staff in our hands. That's in Exodus 12, 11, and they were supposed to do this every year for hundreds, thousands of years. He says there, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So as we live our lives for the Lord, and as we follow Christ in his life, we're adopting this same mindset. We're travelers. We're not settlers. We're pilgrims. We're not permanent residents. We're ambassadors to the world, not citizens of this world. So how do you pack when you're only visiting? How are you supposed to pack? Well, you know that you won't be staying, so you only take what is needed for the trip. So in this life, Jesus wants us, living nowadays, to have a mindset of travel. The world, this world, is not our eternal home. You are going to leave this world. So even if that means you're going to live in this city, it's not your final destination. You're still a traveler, a temporary resident. Your home is heaven. Your house is still being prepared by Jesus Christ. You just haven't moved into it yet, but the lease is signed. The deed is yours. So this is confirmed by the travel items that Jesus prohibits. He says, no bag, no bread, no coins, no extra clothes. Now, why is he prohibiting those? Some of those things, you need to have bread. They're going to need to eat. They're going to need to change clothes at some point in time. They're going to need to spend money at some point. But Jesus tells them, leave it all behind. This is going to put them in the situation, as you read later on in the same passage, that they will be dependent on other people, dependent on other people that have goodwill towards them. They're going to need other people to provide housing and food and replacement clothes. So at this point, you might think, wait a minute, this is the escape clause I'm looking for. This is just talking about missionaries. This is just talking about ministers, people who have to raise funds. This doesn't apply to most other people. But there is an application for people in full-time ministry here, but it also, this all just reflects the ethos of kingdom life for all of us, whether or not we're in full-time ministry. Is the purpose of our lives as believers, is the purpose to accumulate stuff? No. Jesus tells us in Luke 12, take heed, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That's just not what our lives are about. How about this? Maybe I'm not trying to collect stuff, but is the focus of my life to be independence, self-sufficiency, able to take care of my own needs, not depending on others, finding security in self-sufficiency, being prepared? No. We're supposed to have this mindset, Ephesians 4. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. We're expecting to share. We're expecting to be shared with when we have need. So we live not depending on others, not expecting that others will provide what we should be working to provide, but we live expecting that there's an exchange within the body where we lean on one another, where we bear one another's burdens, both giving and supporting, but also receiving gifts, receiving support from one another. So this is hard. Who can receive this? All of us, I think, it's fair to say, all of us. We do find security, stability in having ample provisions, having the bread for the road, having the extra change of clothing. Well, we always come back to remember, and Jesus wants us to remember this, it's not that he's against having things. He's not against that. You have to have things in order to share with others. But he wants us to remember, stuff is false security. You can have your stuff, but it's false security. Don't get your security from your stuff. Stuff fails us. Cars break down. Houses need repair. Clothing wears out. Savings get devalued or get lost. He wants us to keep coming back over and over to this remembrance. Our security is only in what we have in the gospel. Jesus became poor so that you who believe become rich. Jesus shed his heavenly security, his wealth, in order to become a poor man who would die for poor men. And Jesus accumulated a treasury of good works, and then he gave away that fortune to make sinners rich with those good works by imputation. That's where your security comes from. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head, so that we could have a forever home prepared by his hands. And when you're convinced of those things, when you're convinced of that, you're just freed up from your stuff. You don't have to hold on to it. You don't have to depend on it. You're free to give it away. You're free to work for it, but not be controlled by it.